Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading from Joel. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel, "Hear this, O elders. Give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you wine drinkers, over the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, powerful and innumerable. Its teeth are lion's teeth, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and splintered my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it down. Their branches have turned white. Lament like a virgin dressed in sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The fields are devastated, the ground mourns, for the grain is destroyed, the wine dries up, the oil fails. Be dismayed, you farmers, wail, you vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley, for the crops of the field are ruined. The vine withers, the fig tree droops. Pomegranate, palm, and apple, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely joy withers away among the people. The seed shrivels under the clods, and storehouses are desolate. The granaries are ruined because the grain has failed. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle wander about because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep are dazed. To you, O Lord, I cry. For fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flames have burned all the trees of the field. Even the wild animals cry to you because the water courses are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. You shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple.
Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness. O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away.
You made firm the mountains by your power. You are girded about with might.
You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous, and the river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. A reading from Romans. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Today, St. Andrews recognizes the third Sunday of creation. As such, the focus falls to wilderness. Some definitions of wilderness suggest places where no human presence exists. Such definitions present problems, though. They demonstrate a particular Eurocentrism. They deny the reality that other kinds of wilderness exist where indigenous populations live within and coexist with the world around them. Consider the peoples living in the Amazon basin, deep in the forests. Consider also the indigenous peoples of this land who lived in a different relationship with the land and with nature than what the Europeans brought. While the examples continue to diminish over time, these few examples point to ways that humanity has lived in particular relationship to nature. Throughout Scripture, wilderness spaces have particular importance. Both of the creation stories begin from a form of wilderness. In Genesis 1, God creates from the formless void. This void could represent a roiling sea. In Genesis 2, God creates from a desert space, where God brings water and plants the garden and forms humanity and the animals. both formless void and desert place present images of danger. For thousands of years, people have known that surviving at sea or in the desert involved great risk. In the 1980s and 90s, instructions for the Flint Hills Death Ride. It was a bike ride for people riding mountain bikes across the hills of Kansas in August. The instructions for this ride told cyclists who came from all over the nation to take particular care about dehydration, heat sickness, and potential death. You see, many came from other places and did not understand what that terrain could do to them. But there are also stories about migrants making their way across the desert of the Southwest United States. Wilderness is dangerous in Scripture and today. Scripture also speaks of wilderness as dangerous because, well, thieves and bandits do their business out there. When Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, well, the people recognize that if one does not travel in a group, trouble may come too easily. This feature of many biblical stories points to another way that the wilderness represents danger. At the same time, Scripture points to the wilderness spaces for their formative power. Going back to those early Genesis chapters, those creation stories offer a vision that wilderness offers generative hope. One headline yesterday suggested that abandoned farms may offer space for restoring biodiversity. The Israelites trekked across the wilderness for 40 years. This episode conveys the way that wilderness can form, well, identity and relationship with the divine. In that time, the people learned about God's presence, God's providence, and God's steadfast love. They learned how difficult wilderness times can be. And they learned that by focusing on the presence of the divine, hope abounds. Jesus submits to baptism for righteousness' sake in the wilderness, then experiences a 40-day wilderness retreat. During that time, he fasts. Satan comes and tests him. First, the test involved an invitation to claim self-sufficiency. Turn the stone to bread. Second, the test calls him to risk death to prove confidence in God's protection, to test God's safekeeping. Finally, the test calls him to claim power by worshiping Satan. All of this will be yours if you just bow down to me. Instead, Jesus focuses on humility, remembering that one does not live by bread alone, that one does not put the Lord to the test, that one worships God alone. This wilderness experience formed Jesus for the ministry ahead of him. In similar ways, humanity enters into literal and metaphorical wilderness experiences. They, those experiences, can bring danger and they can form people in identity, humility, and clarity of purpose. When entering such times and spaces, the faithful can move forward, filled with hope and the promise that they do not go alone. God promises to accompany them. Christ has gone before them. These are truly trying times, filled with conflict and polarization. By their actions, some behave in ways that deny the humanity of others. The world has witnessed this truth in the extreme reality this past week, with both Hamas and Israel pronouncing that there can be no peace unless the other no longer exists. The conflict raises challenges of complexity and generations-old struggle grounded in existential threats that each experiences. As Presiding Bishop Eaton noted in her letter this past week regarding this current moment, I quote, "As Lutherans, we are accustomed to holding tension between two truths. Thus, the ELCA denounces the egregious acts of Hamas, acts that have led to unspeakable loss of life and of hope. At the same time, the ELCA denounces the indiscriminate retaliation of Israel against Palestinian people, both Christian and Muslim. The United States has its own conflicts and polarizations where some deny the humanity and right for others to exist. Particularly, one may note the right of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual, as well as so many others who do not live on the binary. One may also note so many discussions about healthcare, often with one religious perspective imposing a particular code grounded in their faith commitments on others. As this congregation walks through this season of creation, the call continues. Join Jesus in eschewing the temptation of self-sufficiency. Join Jesus in trusting God without forcing the divine to prove it. Join Jesus in humility, not claiming power, especially when it risks so many forms of idolatry. In the affirmation of baptism, the faithful commit to work for justice and peace in all the world. Such work involves seeking relationship that helps moderate polarization and conflict. This also calls humanity to live intentionally for the sake of caring for creation. In so many ways, every one of these represent difficulty and danger. They can also be places of great creative generativity. Finally, they are a place and a time for growing into clear identity and purpose. Let this congregation seek the well-being of all people, indeed, of all creation. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.